Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Tensions have subsided somewhat along the Gaza border after days of fighting between the Israeli military and Hamas militants in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is back in Israel after returning home early from Washington to deal with the situation. There are less than 2 weeks until Israel's national elections on April 9th. Let's bring in two guests who follow politics in the Middle East closely to discuss the news. Neri Zilber is a journalist and adjunct fellow at the Washington Institute. He's in Tel Aviv. Hi, Neri.
Hi, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
And Gaith Al-Omari is also with us, a former advisor to the Palestinian Authority negotiating team during the 1999 to 2001 permanent status talks and a senior fellow at the Washington Institute. He's in Washington. Gaith, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, and let's start with the situation in Gaza this week. Israeli aircraft bombed the Gaza Strip after a rocket fired from Gaza struck a house in central Israel, injuring seven people. Neri, do you think that this flare-up of violence this week is over, or do you think it still could get worse?
Well, the situation here on the ground is still quite tense. We had rockets and Israeli reprisals just overnight. So we don't quite know whether it's going to escalate into a full-on conflict like we saw a few months ago between Gazan militants and the Israeli army. But everyone is really looking to the weekend, to Friday and Saturday. Hamas is planning mass border marches like we've seen now for the past year. It's a one-year anniversary for that movement starting. So that could actually be quite violent. And then how Israel will respond on the ground and then how the militants in Gaza will respond in kind, still an open question.
And Gaith, this is the most serious escalation of fighting across the Gaza border in months. Why do you think it's happening right now?
It's first of all, very hard to understand the motivation of a terror movement like Hamas. But my sense is that within Hamas itself, there is competition between the mainstream and Hamas, which actually wants a degree of calm, or at least a controlled escalation like we have been seeing over the last year, and some rogue elements, or actually elements that have different interests, whether they are beholden to Iran, whether they are beholden to some of the more hardline elements in Hamas. And I think what we see is almost Gaza politics playing out on the Gaza-Israel relations.
And do you think, Gaith, that it has to do with the fact that there are elections coming up in Israel just in a couple of weeks?
I don't believe so. I think Hamas understands that they can't really impact the elections, and I don't think they really care who's going to come after that. I think it relates more to the power dynamic within Hamas itself and within the Gaza Strip, because there are other factions beyond Hamas that also have interest in either escalation or keeping calm. So I think it's really mainly domestic Gaza politics more than it is Israel. Remember, the last week there were domestic or Gazan protests, people in Gaza protesting against some of the Hamas measures. So there's a very volatile domestic situation, and often the way to deflect is to go and escalate with Israel.
Neri, this comes not too long after President Trump said that the United States is going to recognize Israel's claim over the Golan Heights, which upends decades of U.S. policy. You write that that move reminded Israeli voters that no one on the Israeli political scene has Netanyahu standing in Washington. Do you think Trump made that decision at Netanyahu's request?
I don't know if it was at Netanyahu's request, but it was certainly at Netanyahu's benefit, or for Netanyahu's benefit. The timing of it, there was no real strategic or diplomatic reason for the U.S. to announce this right now, two weeks before an Israeli election. So it was very much a gift and a political boon for Netanyahu and his chances to get reelected.
And Gaith, what about you? What do you see as the significance of Trump's move on the Golan Heights?
And first of all, I just don't see a strategic benefit for Israel. Israel controls the Golan, and no one actually is, thinks that Israel is going to cede the Golan anytime soon. However, what this decision made is actually started undermining a very basic tenet of international relations, the idea that you cannot occupy territory and then annex it to yourself. And this got everyone worried. To give you an example, between the United Arab Emirates and Iran, there's a conflict about three islands that Iran has occupied. And the Emiratis, who are actually close allies of the United States and of Israel under the table, are very worried that there's a precedent right now that once the U.S. recognizes this, Iran will come and say, we want to annex these three islands. Mm. And you can imagine every country that has a territorial dispute with a neighboring country is extremely worried. And that's why, as far as I know, every Arab country and key European countries have come out very forcefully against this decision because it sets a precedent that no one wants to see there. Imagine what will happen to the Crimea,
right,
all of these
right.
kind of situations.
Right, a lot of places around the world that there are disputes over. Neri, let's talk about the elections that are coming up on April the 9th. Netanyahu is running for a fourth consecutive term, but he is facing a tough challenge from retired Lieutenant General Benny Gantz, a former Army Chief of Staff. Who has the edge right now in the election?
Well, if the polls are to be believed, Benny Gantz and his party are leading slightly over Netanyahu and his Likud party. So the polls are actually not in Netanyahu's favor, but I will say under the Israeli system, it's not necessarily who wins the election outright, but rather who has the best chance at forming a parliamentary majority. And in that sense, the polls are actually in Netanyahu's favor because it tilts more in favor of the right-wing parties, what he calls his natural allies. So we're about now less than 2 weeks out, and it's still A, quite close, and B, quite uncertain what might happen before then to maybe tilt it one way or the other.
Gaith, what's at stake for Palestinians in this election?
It's really about what kind of coalition will be formed after the elections. If there is a coalition that will build on the momentum of the Golan annexation, that will build on the increasing right-wing tendency in some of the Israeli politicians to start annexing parts of the West Bank, then I see a very quick deterioration in the relations, and I see almost a collapse of the diplomatic architecture that we've been working in for a while. If we have a more practical, more pragmatic coalition, we might, I don't think we're going to start seeing a peace process soon, but we might start seeing Israeli measures that will, first of all, stop the halt towards the or the erosion of a two-state solution, and might slowly start creating a new political reality and a physical reality that will might enable us in the future to go back to peace. So it will determine the trajectory of the relation between Palestinians and Israelis.
Neri, it wasn't that long ago that everybody was talking about the significance of the U.S. moving its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Is that even an issue in this campaign?
It's an issue in the sense that Netanyahu uses his close relationship with Washington and with Trump himself as a electoral boon. So he's projecting himself as a statesman on the world stage. And you contrast that with someone like Benny Gantz, who is new to the political scene, has army experience, sure, but no political experience. And so that very much works in Netanyahu's favor. The Jerusalem embassy move, coupled with now the Golan recognition, mm-hmm. coupled with Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal, and so on and so forth, is directly playing in the election in Likud campaign ads. Netanyahu mentions it repeatedly. So Trump, in a strange way, is a player in this election.
And why hasn't Netanyahu been hurt more by his corruption allegations?
That is a great question. So obviously the Attorney General last month recommended indictments against Netanyahu, the first time in Israeli history that a sitting prime minister has been indicted. The hearing for that will be in a few months, so after the election. You have a security crisis now on the Gaza border. None of that has deteriorated, I would say, Netanyahu's base support. And there might be a strange parallel with maybe American politics. Netanyahu still has a core base of support that no matter what happens in the world, here on the ground, no matter what he says or does, will stick with him.
Yeah, and it's interesting also parallel to American politics. Netanyahu has been blaming the media, which is something that President Trump does a lot as well. Gaith, what do you make of the corruption allegations and how that's playing out in Israeli politics?
We are really, I mean, not only in Israel, I would say even globally, and certainly we see it in this country, we are in a new, almost uncharted territory in politics. There's almost an overload of dramatic events. Look at Israel, between the corruption issues and the Golan and the embassy and Gaza. And it's almost the public and the electorate is unable to digest all of these things. Hmm. I don't actually know how this will play out. And as Neri said, it's interesting, and as you said, how all of these developments, whether positive towards Netanyahu or negative, have really not managed to shift the core trajectory direction of the Israeli elections.
That is Gaith Al-Omari, and we've also been speaking with Neri Zilber. They are both with the Washington Institute. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Jeremy.